Thanks a lot, Scott. Our first guest has now left the studio after you played that song.
Now, why would that happen? Trying to introduce our guest. Bob and Scott version of the Jack and Sandy Show this morning on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
Dr. Doreen Whitting is here from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. Going to answer your pet questions here in just a couple of moments. Do they, seriously, just Jack and Sandy play that song?
I don't think I've ever had Jack and Sandy play that song. So okay. You're the first.
Okay. We were just wondering.
And the last.
Hopefully. Dr. Whitting, once again, is from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. And she joins the Jack and Sandy Show every third Tuesday, if I get that correct. And then she joins us once a month during the evenings on the Nighttime Live Harris Happening program. And we want to welcome you back. And
thank you.
Thank you for bringing the nice weather again today.
Yes. Anything for you, Bob.
Yeah. We're going to open the phone lines at 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Those are our phone numbers for your pet questions. But you do have a couple of updates from a previous show that you wanted to get into before we do our
topic
today.
Right. And I've been meaning to do this every single time I've come on the air since these questions were raised, but have forgotten about it. So we had one question a few times ago about wart remover creams and using them on your dog. Typically, no, you're not going to want to use them because dogs very infrequently get warts. Usually it's another type of skin tumor that comes up frequently, adenomas. Your vet can help you with that, but I would never ever use those creams without knowing exactly what the lump is that you're treating. And some dogs can get really sick from some of those wart remover creams, okay, depending on what they are.
When they say the warts, is that like, I mean, I would think that'd be difficult to spot. Is that like on the nose or in the ears?
They can be anywhere. Typical warts on dogs, we'll see them, papillomas they're called. We'll see them in the mouths, but you can see them anywhere on the body. And typically that's something that you'd want to have your vet look at first.
Okay. And there was one other?
There's one other update. There was also a few months ago or a couple months ago, somebody who called in about their little poodle. I believe it was a poodle, an older poodle that had skin allergies. And I just wanted to let you know, if you're listening, there's a new drug out called Apoquil. I've used it and allergy dogs tend to really respond to that. It's worth trying because it doesn't have the side effects of prednisone, but you need to talk to your veterinarian because it's in short supply. It had such a welcome reception in the veterinary community that everybody bought it up, and it's hard to get now. So,
really?
Yep. So just talk to your vet about that.
All right. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Or if you have a question you'd like to email the doctor, you can do that too at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. The email box is open. Senior care. Now, I don't mean this as a slam, but you know a lot about senior pets because you have a couple of dogs who have a lot of years on them.
You know, and senior pets are probably, they are my favorite because they're used to you as being a pet owner, and you're used to them, and things, all the kinks are kind of worked out at that point in time. You know them, you know what they're going to do. They know you. Life is pretty much cookie cutter at that point. So they're my favorite. They're wonderful, wonderful pets.
What you know, what is the, when you say a senior, but what years are we talking about? How old do animals,
you know,
get?
It can get really complicated. There's guidelines out that say there's juveniles, mature, senior, and geriatric. You can get into all sorts of different categorizing of life stages. But I usually just try to make it as simple as possible, and I'll call anything over 7 years of age. They're entering their senior years.
But I imagine, too, because I've seen smaller dogs, you know, are outliving the larger dogs. So it's got to be breed inside the pets.
Absolutely. And dogs, we know that on average, they live about 13 years of age now, and that is very breed dependent. As you said, smaller dogs live longer than larger dogs. And also lifestyle dependent. I mean, if you have a dog that lives outside, probably not going to live quite as long as the cushy indoor dog.
Really? That's interesting. I've always thought it would be the opposite way, you know?
Well, life is just a little bit harder when we're outdoors all the time. So more risks.
When our animals, when our pets are getting older, what are some of the things that are going to happen that we keep an eye out for?
Well, with kitties, we really worry about kidney disease. And you need to keep an eye on your older cats. Typically, we'll see increased thirst and urination if they have kidney disease, but it could also be diabetes as well. Hyperthyroidism or overactive thyroid, we'll see weight loss with a good appetite or hyperactivity. And as always, hearing and vision can go. And then we see a lot of different types of cancers, and the type can vary.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's also... You spot those lump then? Is that the...
It can be a lump on the skin. If you have a geriatric dog or cat, you always want to get that checked out by your veterinarian because it can be a cancerous problem.
Because the dogs that... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the dogs that I've had over the years, that seems the lumps are very, very more apparent as the dog does get older, as you say.
They are. And some of it can be... Fatty lumps are very common. And as muscle wastes away as we get older... Our muscle tends to atrophy a little bit, and you'll notice those fatty lumps a little bit more. Mm. But there can be lumps inside the body, and that's where your veterinarian comes in and can help with palpation techniques, and he can help you.
Okay. How about the dogs then on that on their side?
So as far as dogs go, and I was kind of racking my brain thinking of different diseases that I see more often in dogs, and probably endocrine diseases like Cushing's disease or hypothyroidism are more common. And then we see hearing and vision loss as well. And then, of course, cancer. So with Cushing's disease, that's an endocrine disease, and you'll see increased thirst in those animals. They can look pot-bellied and have hair loss. And with hypothyroidism or low thyroid in dogs, cats tend to have overactive thyroid. Dogs tend to have low thyroid, and with dogs, you'll see weight gain and hair loss. Okay.
By the way, there's somebody who's supposed to, I was supposed to ask you a question on hair loss on a different avenue here. I'm going to do that in just a second, but Randy is on the line with us right now. Randy, you're on the phone with Dr. Doreen Winning. Welcome to The Vet Is In.
Hi, Doc. How you doing?
Hi, Randy.
Say, 2 weeks ago, I kind of rescued and inherited a German short-haired pointer female. She's approximately 3-4 years old, great dog, listens well. She is dying of thirst all the time.
Okay. So what you're going to want to do, have you had any blood work or anything, Ran?
No. I was listening to your radio, but I just turned it on as you were talking about the diabetes. Is there a possibility she's diabetic?
Absolutely. We can see diabetic animals at any life stage, really. And so you want to have that checked out. We can also see kidney problems, and they'll cause increased thirst. And there's a variety of other causes that can cause increased thirst. But what you might want to do, is this an indoor dog or outdoor?
Yes. No, she's a house dog.
Okay. You might want to, just before you make your vet appointment, you can help your vet out by measuring the amount of water that she takes in during the day. And you do that simply by measuring what goes into the water bowl at the beginning of a 24-hour period and measuring what's left over at the end. And so that can help your veterinarian decide if she actually is drinking too much water for her size.
Okay, yeah, she's approximately right at about 55 or 60. She's in good health. But, I mean, I took her out running yesterday. She was eating snow constantly. She was licking the frost off the window. She tries to jump. If somebody takes a shower, she jumps, so licks all the water out of the tub. Constantly dying of thirst.
Yeah, and that's just not normal. So she needs help.
And where is your practice?
We are on 3210 Main Avenue in Fargo.
Okay.
And, you can just call us up, 232-3391. We'll set you up with an appointment.
And the name of the practice?
Valley Veterinary Hospital.
You got it. I'll come see you.
Okay, thanks, Randy.
Very good. Thanks, Randy.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate your call. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. We're coming up on 11:20. The vet is in. Dr. Doreen Winning here. And that's all.
Those, they tend to be more expensive. You can just try to get your dog to lay on a soft bed. That'll help, too.
Interesting. Now, do you try to scrape that off, or will it come off naturally? Then will they loosen up?
You know, I tend to use, like, bag balm. It just softens it up and helps heal it up.
Okay. Scott's on the line with us here at KFGO, and we'll go to him before we take our first break. Scott, you're on with Dr. Doreen Winning here on KFGO. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to both of you. I have a question. I've got a 10-year-old cat that is in excess of 20 pounds, and he's been overweight most of his life, but he's a big cat too, but I'm just trying to figure out the best way with another cat in the house as far as how we can actually cut back on his food and get him to lose some weight.
Right. So hindsight being what it is, 2020, we would start out as a kitten with scheduled feedings. And I realize that with many of my clients, the beauty of having a cat is you can just set the food bowl down and they kind of auto-regulate. A lot of cats don't. And so then we're faced with this situation in life later on that we need to regulate their feeding or change their diet. So with cats, we know it's hard to get them to go out and exercise. I don't see many people walking their cats on a leash.
He's an inside cat.
Yeah. And so what we have to do is start manipulating the diet. If you can, try really hard to get him on a set feeding schedule twice a day where you measure the amount of food that goes in the bowl twice daily. You want to use the lowest calorie food possible. A lot of low calorie foods will have higher fiber, making them feel fuller.
Okay.
If you're gone during the day, you can feed them less in the morning and then more, you know, the bulk of the food at night. Because that way they're not pestering you so bad. Cats are great about batting at your heels and meowing when
yes,
they're hungry.
He's terrible.
Yep. So you just want to, if you're going to be gone at a certain time, that's when you, right before that is right when you want to feed the lesser amount of food. Okay. So they're not pestering you. So those are little tricks.
Is there a big difference between the soft and the hard food as far as calories? I know it's kind of a general question, but.
No, that's a very good question. Soft food tends to be higher in protein.
Okay.
Dry food tends to be higher in carbs. So a lot of times I will tell people, as long as you are taking care of their teeth, you can go to a canned food. That's perfectly fine. And that can help you obtain lean muscle mass.
Scott, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more. The Vet is In. Dr. Doreen Whitting from the Valley Veterinary Hospital here on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
KFGO.
We're running a little bit behind here. Going to take another break, and news is just around the corner. But you folks online, hang in there. I promise we will get to you. The Vet is In. Dr. Doreen Whitting from the Valley Veterinary Hospital here on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
Hold it, puppy love.
See, that's one of the reasons that Scott and I changed places. He's got all those great ideas.
Aww,
all that
Scott.
Music.
A better song for a vet.
There you go.
Than puppy love.
Absolutely. Dr. Doreen Whitting is our special guest. She is from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. The Vet is In. And by the way, we'll be giving you some phone numbers and also her address here a little bit later on this hour. So get a piece of paper and a pencil handy. We still haven't gotten to muscular skeletal conditions yet, but we will do that. But we got a couple of people that have been hanging on a long time. Diane, hang in there. Arlene, you are up first. Thank you for holding. You're on with Dr. Whitting.
Hello.
Hi, Arlene.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is going to be a different and odd question, and I'm almost embarrassed to ask you. But anyway, I've had a lot of dogs through my life and never the problem I'm having with my toy poodle. She's 7 years old. I got her when she was 4 months old. She don't want to eat. For 7 years now, I have fed her by hand. I have put I tried different dog foods to see if she'll eat out of the dish or no, she won't. I hate to say this, let her go at different times, 4 or 5 days, because I've been told if she's hungry, she'll eat. She won't starve to death, but she don't go near it. She just, no, I won't eat. So all these years, I feed her by hand. And even that's a problem. And once I get her, like, primed, maybe she'll take it and maybe we'll spit it out. But then, okay, it goes. So we spend about a half an hour to 45 minutes every day to get food in her. What is wrong? Is it me or is it my dog?
Well, I don't think it's... Well, part of the problem is a lot of times we start them as puppies and we worry about how much they're eating. Dogs, you're right, dogs typically will not starve. Trying different foods, they have a natural inherent tendency to want to live. And so I have yet to meet a dog that will starve themselves to death. However, it seems like these young or small breed dogs tend to not be very fussy about what they eat. You can try homemade diets. Some dogs respond better.
I've tried that.
Respond better to that. I think what you need to do is probably just continue feeding the food you're feeding and mm-hmm. doing what you're doing, because at 7 years of age, it's hard to change, but persevere and don't let her try to control your lifestyle. And, you know, that's all I can't tell you anything other than that, because I think a lot of times it's who's controlling who. It's a control situation. It's a behavioral thing, and we enable them once they start acting a certain way. So, you know, the dog doesn't want to eat. Oh, we better hand feed you. And I can't tell you how many times that I've had puppies and dogs come into the office and the owners are worried about how much they're eating. They're not eating enough. I can't get them to eat. When their body condition score is A-OK, they're getting enough to eat. So I would have your veterinarian look at her, and if she is, you know, in good body condition, I really wouldn't worry about it.
All right. Thank you, Arlene. We're going to go to Diane before a break for the Olympics. And Diane, thank you for holding on. You're on with Dr. Doreen Winning for the Valley Veterinary Hospital.
Hello. I have a male Cavalier and a female Cavalier Maltese, and they're both about 14 pounds, and they're 3 years old. And my Maltese, she has gotten kind of aggressive, and Wilson will, even when they eat, I give them each their own dish, and he'll stand back lately, and he's even shaken. And the little stinker, Maddie, she'll go and won't let him have his food. And then when I hold him, he's gotten so he will, when I pet him, he'll all of a sudden start growling and he'll nip at me. He's even bit me. And then when I put him down, I'll shoo him away, and then he'll come back and try to cuddle. But is it jealousy?
Actually, there's a lot of different things that can be going on. For one, when I see, does he follow you around the house?
Yes.
Yeah. So typically when we see behaviors like that, we're going to think of hyperattachment syndrome, where the dog is just so attached to the owner that there's conflict behaviors occurring. And so usually what I tell people in these circumstances, you teach the dog to be the dog and you're the human, you're the one in charge. So the dog needs to learn to sit and be obedient for everything that it receives. So what I've done, I have a difficult dog at home. Her name's Dahlia, and she gets aggressive towards other dogs, and we have problems in the household. So basically I've taught her she needs to be a dog. She's not allowed to have food unless she does a command prior to eating. She has to earn everything. She has to earn my attention. She has to sit before she receives attention. And she's not allowed on my lap unless I'm actively seeking her out. She can't just jump up on my lap. Nothing's free. So she has to learn that everything's under command.
Okay. I know I do have them sit or lay down before I give them a treat, and they'll do that. But
everything.
Okay, I need to be more
consistent and repeatable. Everything.
All right, Diane, thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We've got an email here. We'll get to that in just a couple of moments. But right now, courtesy of Muscatel Subaru, we got to check out and see what's happening at the latest in Russia.
She said, I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me.
Hey, don't forget, coming up after 1 o'clock today, Mick Foley from the WWE. He is going to be here in town on Thursday doing a comedy show over at the new Prime Comedy Club. And he's going to be joining us here after 1 o'clock today here on KFGO. Meanwhile, Dr. Doreen Winning is our special guest. The Vet is in. Her visit here every third Tuesday on the Jack and Sandy Show. I'm Bob Harris, along with Scott Sorum. And we do have, Doctor, an email that came in. It says, I have a 13-year-old DSH.
Domestic short hair.
Okay, spayed female cat. Just check and see if you do that. diabetic and on 2 shots a day of insulin. When she sheds in the spring, she also gets very dry, flaky skin. I give my other cats fish oil, but due to her special diet, I haven't given her any. Also, she tends to be put on the pounds easily.
Give her fish oil.
Any ideas?
That's my response. Give her fish oil.
To stop the flaking fish oil?
Yeah. And the reason I say that is because a small amount of fish oil shouldn't affect the diabetes that much. And cats, topical products are really hard to use in cats because they're constantly grooming themselves. So I would do the fish oil.
Okay, very good. There you go, Michelle. Hope that helped out. We're talking about senior care for your pet or your animal, your dog or cat, or We're going to talk now about the musculoskeletal conditions, and I hope I pronounced that right. Osteoarthritis, and fortunately, I've had a couple of older dogs in my lifetime who have gone through that.
Right.
And you feel pretty sad for them.
Yeah, and there are so many times that I hear owners saying my dog is stiff. It's just stiff. It's not anything else. It's not painful. And I just want to put myself in that dog's position. Put yourself in your dog's position. If you're older, you know what stiffness means. It can hurt sometimes. And stiffness and osteoarthritis tend to go together. And so stiffness, difficulty getting up from a lying position, going up and down steps, short or choppy gaits, those are all things all indicating osteoarthritis is present. And there are medications, not necessarily non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, sometimes non-prescription medications that we can give for these older pets that help them to feel better. And then we also see, as far as musculoskeletal conditions go, we also see...
Okay, smarty pants. You said it right, and I didn't.
Muscle atrophy as we age. We can get tremors in those legs. We see that a lot with the older dogs.
We had heard from one person a little while ago about the dogs changing their behavioral patterns. Can that be a sign of old age?
Absolutely. We can see an increase in anxiety as dogs get older, changes in their sleep and wake cycles. Cats are notorious for staying up at night and howling as they get older, and that's a sign of cognitive dysfunction or senility. Confusion, house soiling, very common in dogs as they get older. They tend to have revert back to puppyhood as far as training, mm-hmm. potty training goes. So in as far as behavioral conditions, I just want to take a minute to talk a little bit more about that. Behavioral conditions are tough. And there's so many factors that can play into any behavioral condition, whether you're, 6 months of age or 12 years of age. And oftentimes, I was just telling Bob during the break, oftentimes when people come in with a behavioral problem, that's an hour-long appointment where we sit and hash things out because I need to know the fine details of what's going on at home, not just, broad sweeping subjects. We get down to the nitty-gritty. So behavioral things are very complicated.
How about dental disease?
Dental disease, we often think that, it's just a bad tooth. My dog's still eating. Dogs and cats don't tend to show signs of dental disease. Owners most often don't even know. And there's a lot of times that we as veterinarians don't know just by looking in the mouth. We have to take dental x-rays. And so I tell owners, our goal is to keep those teeth as long as we possibly can, not wait for dentistry until the teeth are rotten and then pulling them out. Yeah. So I like to do annual dental cleanings with these guys.
Because I know that you had one problem with one of your own dogs.
Yes. And actually, Bob, I just did my other dog. I lost Schroeder. He had a lot of dental problems. But Elsa, my second oldest and now my oldest, I just did a dental cleaning on her the other day. And again, her teeth had a lot of calculus or tartar on them. But when we got the dental x-rays was when really we knew how many teeth she was going to lose. And I had to pull 10 of her teeth. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I hate to say it, negligent on that one. So,
well, I didn't mean to
do as I say, not as I do.
237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. We're going to check some market numbers here in just a few minutes. And your phone calls when we return. More of The Vet Is In here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. To go here with Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital here on KFGO. And we do have a couple of phone calls. Actually, one phone call standing by there, doctor. And Jeff is with us right now. Let's get him on the line. Hi, Jeff. You're on with Dr. Winning.
Hi, I got probably a behavioral question.
Okay.
We got two Siamese cats, and one of them a while back started howling at night and really restless. And now he's gotten to a point where he is not using the litter box.
Mm-hmm.
And all during the day and in the evening, he'll sit with you. He's very calm and eats fine and everything else. And we can't figure out what has stressed him or what his anxiety is. Is it something that could be... Is it more behavioral, or is it just age or something, or what?
Yep. First of all, I would have your vet check him out, do a full physical exam and any diagnostics he or she deems necessary. And then if everything else is looking good, then you can assume that it's behavioral and cognitive dysfunction. Because you said it was a senior cat, correct?
About 7 years.
Yeah. Getting not quite as old as I would expect for cognitive dysfunction, especially howling at night, but it can happen. And there are medications we can give to decrease the problem of sleep-wake cycle disruptance.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. Doctor, we don't have much time left here, but let's go through a couple of points about how we can help our pets through this old age.
Right. So real quick, routine veterinary visits. I like to see my senior patients twice a year because pets age faster than people. And so stuff happens really quick. So I'm going to want to lay my hands on those patients more often than once a year. So I'll run blood work once a year and I will potentially take some x-rays. Sometimes I will do blood pressure checks in cats. So those are all things, depending on what your veterinarian is seeing on physical exam, that you're going to want to have done annually.
And what about at home?
At home, we're going to want daily exercise, walking or swimming. Make sure the temperature in the environment is comfortable. Talk to your veterinarian about a proper diet, non-skid floors and padded bedding. Some people put ramps up for their pets if they can't handle steps. And brushing, regular grooming for cats. They can't do it themselves very easily as they get older. And then finally, just be gentle. Those animals tend to be a little bit more fragile as they get older.
Yeah. Don't forget, folks, you're going to get old someday, too. Okay. Dr. Doreen Whitting from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. Once again, your address?
3210 Main Avenue in Fargo.
And if folks want any more information, they can call your office, right?
That's correct. 232-3391 or at valleyveterinary.net.
And you got a Facebook page as well.
We do.
All right. Super.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And we'll see you again on the Jack and Sandy Show in a month. And she'll be on Nighttime Live with us, too, coming up in the near future as well.